Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
As women, we fulfill many roles in life, and mom is just one of them. But mom, even in itself, is a lot of things. We know that, right? Teacher, nurse, chauffeur, cook, time manager, teacher of manners. I love this quote by a woman named Christine Kane. It says, "Our ideas of what constitutes failure and what qualifies as success are often both built on false assumptions of what is the ultimate goal. Remember, it's not so much about what we accomplish for God, but what we are, but that we are becoming more like Him." And I think that kind of sums up my message today, but that's why I wanted to start with that. I'm just going to open in prayer, I think, before we get into the Word today. Heavenly Father, I just commit these words to You. Lord, that You would just anoint, that these would be Your words, that You would be glorified, that no man would glory in Your presence today. I pray that each of us are challenged, including myself, and that we would see You. We would focus on You today, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. I commit this message to You, Lord. Amen. Well, today I'm going to talk a little bit about vision. And there is a scripture in Proverbs, and I'm going to read the amplified version of it. It's Proverbs 29:18. And it says, "Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation by God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God is blessed, happy, and fortunate." I think vision is so important in life. I think that if you don't know where you're going, if you don't have clear focus, that it's very easy to lose track. And there's examples in the Old Testament in Amos 8:11-12, talks about how there was a time of famine and a time of not just famine with food and water, but also a time where the people of God would not hear His voice for years. And I just think, for me, that would be just kind of terrifying. I think that could probably be the worst thing that you could do, is to take me out of God's presence, or take me to a place where I would not be able to hear His voice. And maybe some of you think or can say, well, there's times in my life where I feel like He's been kind of silent. But this was a purposeful, God-ordained time of famine, not even hearing His voice. And it says that because the people couldn't hear God, that they wandered. They just wandered aimlessly. And I think that that's what we do. When we don't have that clear vision and that clear hearing God's voice, that we tend to wander. And so I want to talk a little bit about vision and the importance of it. Because I think as a mom, the best thing, I mean, oftentimes I've been asked by new moms, there's friends of ours that we've known for years, and they say, "You and Randy should write a parenting book. Like, how did you do it?" And honestly, I don't think that as parents we can take blame or credit for the way our children are, how they turn out. And Randy always says, "But for the grace of God," right? I mean, and we're not done yet. And I stand here humbled, and I am thankful. Thankful, that's just a stupid word to use in this case. I'm so blessed that we have four children who are serving the Lord. But that's no credit to us. That's credit to a mighty, glorious God. But if I did have to give my greatest tip to parents, is that you just serve God. You point them to Jesus. I remember as a young mom picking up the books, you know, and I just saw that book at a garage sale when Brock and I were garage sailing. It says, "What to expect when you're expecting." Well, I just think no offense, if you read all those books and you're really into all that stuff, I just think it's funny because we all know, those of us who have grown children, that it's a joke. It's like there is no cookie cutter. There is no recipe to this. There is no way that pattern that you can follow that's going to produce some kind of perfect kid. We all make mistakes. We're all imperfect. But the greatest thing I can tell, especially you young moms, is point to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. And I really feel like then even when things go wrong, at least you know you were focused in the right place. And when they go wrong, you just have to lean back on him. He's right there. Because we know in life things don't always go well and things happen. Things happen in our families and with ourselves. So anyway, I think that in saying all that and pointing to Jesus, that God's just kind of been speaking to me and showing me, especially with women, where we have a wrong focus. And the first kind of vision issue, I think, is what I would call this morning eyes to the side. It's where we're looking to the right and to the left. And just to explain that in a more practical sense, it's eyes on the world. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'm living my 50th year here. I'm going to be 50 this year. And I have seen so many trends in the right way of mothering come and go and then come again. And, you know, breastfeed, don't breastfeed, bottle feed, how you potty train, how, you know, natural foods, mush your own, don't mush your own, organic. You know, it just, it's confusing. It's really confusing. And all the philosophies of the world and the latest speakers on the latest shows and telling you all the latest trends. And honestly, I number one, it is confusing. And number two, I think it creates chaos. And I think looking to the world sometimes gets us very off focus of what actually Jesus says we should do in our parenting, in our mothering, in our living, just for you guys. Just living life, I think it applies. I think of kids that go to school and all the philosophies of this world, all the humanistic philosophies that trickle into our kids' minds through the education system today. And it's so easy, and I see it in the church, how it actually gets you to start thinking that those ways are the right ways, but they're so against what God's word says. And so you need to know what God's word says and keep your eyes focused on him and not to the left and not to the right. I remember, you know, sometimes when we do this, we tend to compare, and Randy and I, as we raised our kids, I'm thankful for a godly husband who prays and is wise. And we just kind of depended on God for some of those rules for our home. And sometimes I think it was probably kind of hard for our kids because we had some kind of, you know, like no sleepovers. We just, and I'm just sharing this, and this isn't me telling you don't let your kids sleep over, because that's the whole point of my message, is what God speaks to us is a very personal thing. As individual as we are, that's not something to put on other people. But we just felt for our children, I mean, unless it was someone we knew super, super well, we just didn't do them. And we just didn't allow our kids to do them. And if there were parties that involved them, then we compromised. Like, okay, you can go till, let's see, I should be able to stay up till 11. You can go till 11, then we'll come pick you up. So they could enjoy part of the party, but they won't, you know, things like that. We were pretty strict about movies and TV shows we allowed in our home too. And I'm talking like when our kids were growing up in those formative years. But the thing is, see, if I was looking eyes to the side and comparing, there are a lot of families, even within the church, that did not set those standards. And I don't remember our kids ever really complaining or saying, well, but, you know, Johnny's allowed to do that, or Johnny's allowed to watch that movie or whatever. I really don't remember my kids ever saying that. Maybe they felt it and thought it, but God entrusts you with this life. And so I really think it's important to hear what he's speaking to you for your home, for your life, and not look to the left and to the right. The second focus that I think, that I see, especially in women, is eyes on self. And I think that eyes on self has a lot to do with where we sit with the Lord. I think eyes on self creates a lot of complaining. And I personally, my view on complaining is that it's a sin. Habitual patterns of complaining is a sin, because to me, it's saying, God, I know better than you. Why are you allowing this? Why is this happening in my life? And even bad things, God uses all that. And we can see in Scripture stories where bad things happen to people. And I know back probably when I was a younger mom, I mean, it's hard. It's a live-dead situation, like literally when you're a mom and you're sleep-deprived and all those things. It's really easy to get into those places of complaining or negative attitude or just kind of everything's always bad. But I'm telling you, ladies, when you get in that place, it does produce a pattern in your life. A pattern of negativity, and I'll even explain it this way. I feel like then you are planting seeds of negativity within your home, within the atmosphere of your home, within your children's lives, within their spirits, because I do believe in the power that we have as women in our homes and what we plant spiritually in the atmospheres of our homes. And I'm not talking the building. I mean, just, you know, wherever your home is, whatever your life is. And when everything's always bad and negative, I really feel like that's an issue of eyes on self. Because what you're doing is you're just thinking about yourself and woe is me and this is horrible. And I understand that there are things in life that get hard. And I'm not saying, oh, you can just never, never like unload and say, man, what a rotten day. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the habitual pattern of just everything's always negative. And I've spoken before, and I believe it was last Mother's Day that we gave you that gift, that book called 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. And if you don't have a copy, you need to get one, because that book really transformed the way that I looked at life, and that you can always find blessing no matter what. No matter you just had two teeth yanked from your head, there's blessing that I get to eat Culver's custard for dinner and not feel bad, because that's about all you can eat when you have two teeth yanked from your head, right? So I'm, you know, that which happened this week, that's why I'm using that example. You know, I really believe that in any negative, hard situation in life, we just need to take our eyes off ourselves and look to the cross and say, Jesus, what is it I am to learn through this? In any bad thing in my life, through my parents' divorce, through which, you know, was a hard thing, obviously. Any of you who are children of divorce, you know how that just sends your life into a tailspin of chaos. But now, and even like in previous years, I could see that God grew me through that. And I'm not sure I could have grown in those ways had I not gone through that. Does that mean you all need to go through it? No. Because I'm an individual, and God, you know, his handprint's on me, and he's taken me through different things, just like he's taken you through different things. But I strongly believe that one of the greatest tools to getting your eyes off yourself is to do things for others. Anytime you find yourself in depression, which is a very real thing, or just downward thinking, go do something for other people. There's something about taking yourself and focusing on others and off yourself that is very freeing and liberating and such a blessing. I think that if I was always focused on my lack, always focused on me, I probably wouldn't even be standing here. Because I would always be looking at, like, well, I didn't go to Bible college. I don't know how to properly prepare a message. Whatever all those words are that you learn how to hermeneutic. Hermeneutics. I don't know what they're called, but anybody that went to Bible college, you know, and you can, you know. So here's the process, right? And I don't speak as well as Bobby Houston or Lisa Bevere, Christine Kane. But see where the focus goes then? It's always on self. If you get nervous to stand up and speak in front of people, it's because your focus is on yourself. You're worried about what people are going to think about you. And I'm just speaking from personal experience that when I focus on God, if you're asking me to do this, I don't have to be Lisa Bevere. I don't have to act like her. I don't have to speak like her. Because you know what, ladies? God is calling you out as an individual. And if he calls you to speak in front of people, he will empower you to do it just the way that you should do it. Because we don't need 10 Joyce Meyers in this world. We just need one. We got her, so we're good. Leave it alone, right? If God's calling you to teach a Bible study, no eyes on self. Don't think about yourself. Think, you know what? If God is calling you to do it, he's going to empower you to do it. And this life is so much more than us. It's actually laying down us. And I just use those examples because they're things in me, you know, they're just personal things. But you apply it to whatever it is God is calling you to, whatever the doubts and the fears and the insecurities of self, looking at self, have caused you to not go and do. Because we need to. If God's asking you to do it, it's for a reason. This world needs you. This hurting, messed up world needs you. If God is calling you to go to the Middle East, you can't be looking at yourself. Especially today, right? As they systematically go in and behead Christians all over that area today. There's no looking at self. But the cool thing is, you know, you look to the cross and what God's calling you to do. And stop the complaining. Be weary of your negative thinking and criticism. It all leads to low self-esteem. And focus on us and not on God. My God is faithful. He is on the throne. That's all that matters. I really feel like in women, just that criticalness and that negativity is such a disease today. And we need to pull ourselves up out of it. The third wrong focus, and this is one that I have just noticed lately, and I just felt like God stirring in me for myself and just for other women, and that's eyes on the outside source. When we have our focus on others. Now, this might sound like what I was just talking about, but let me distinguish what I mean by this. I have noticed that more and more, as we live in a world with easy access to social media, to conferences, to books, that especially us as women, us as mothers, we are looking at the woman beside us. In a comparison way, but also in a dependence way. If the only way that you can have an intimate relationship with Christ and a really passionate worship experience with him is at a conference, there's something wrong. If the only time you can really get yourself into a deep place of prayer is when your girlfriend grabs you by the hand and makes you do it, there's something wrong. And I find that as women, we're beginning to depend on each other too much. And I want to preface this because I'm all about being sisters who encourage one another. I probably even preached on it. And I believe in it. I believe in speaking life to one another. But when our dependence is on another human being and not on Jesus Christ, my Lord, there's a problem. And that's what I'm talking about. And I see it more and more. And it does affect our mothering and our parenting because we do compare ourselves to our friends. If you need your friend's encouragement all the time to, you know, you have a bad day and you just can't get past it, you and the Lord, and you just constantly need verbal affirmation from other people, there's something wrong. I don't think we were ever designed, women, to depend on another human being for our spiritual health. And I thought of friends, but it could be even your husband. I think when I first married Randy, I mean, I was so insecure about my spiritual situation. Let's say that. Because I had insecurities about I wasn't from Bible college. You know, he went to North Central, which is the biggest bridal college, you know, this side of the Mississippi and or that side of the Mississippi. But you know what I mean? I mean, all the graduates from that school, you know, Ring by Spring and all that stuff. I mean, it's just you marry a girl who went through Bible college. I couldn't play piano. I couldn't sing. I couldn't do all those things that pastors' wives should do. I dressed totally wrong. I needed to get rid of half my wardrobe, at least, I'm pretty sure. Which is pretty much the truth because I was very insecure about my spiritual ability to be a pastor's wife when we were first married. And the Lord really, and one time when we lived in Sudbury, which is the place we lived when we first got married, I remember a woman in the church actually telling me, like, I needed to learn how to cook better because I could never entertain people as a pastor's wife with the way that I cooked. So see, there's hope for you all. But, man, it's amazing. Like, words hurt, right? I mean, that stuck with me. It stuck with me and those insecurities that I wasn't good enough in a lot of areas. But this is my point, is that the Lord kind of convicted me and said, you aren't going to heaven on his shirt tail. You're not going to show up and just say, but I was a pastor's wife. And God began to really convict me that I needed my own personal relationship with him. Not just Lord, I accept you into my heart kind of relationship. I had done that, but like a deep, intimate relationship with Christ. That I knew who he was calling me to be. I knew what he was asking me to do. I was confident in his love for me. I was confident in his grace. I was confident in his forgiveness. All those things that I just think we take for granted in this church, but I think a lot of people struggle with. I think there's people in this room that struggle with knowing that Jesus really loves them. And you can't find that through your girlfriend, ladies. You have to find that at the feet of Jesus. And when you find that, it just trickles down. It affects every area of your life, including how you mother. And that's what makes you the best mother. Is that I am found at the feet of Jesus and I point my children that way. Randy and I don't know, there's been times when I've stood up here and I've seen all my kids up at the front worshiping. We didn't tell them they had to do that. We didn't tell them they had to do that. That's not a rule you can put on your kids. That's just something we did because we love the Lord. And if they caught it, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. I'm proud of my kids. I'm proud that they dance before the Lord. I'm proud that they want to be Jesus freaks and not fit in with this world. But that's not something I told them they had to do. Because we all know kids don't listen really anyway, right? They're going to find their own path. I think our dependence, you know, if you leave a church because the pastor resigns and goes somewhere else, there's something wrong. If your best Christian girlfriend moves away and your faith struggles, there's something wrong. Because none of our relationships with Christ should depend on what our friends are doing, Christian or otherwise. And men, this goes for you too. You got to find that place. You got to find that place of intimacy with Christ, because it will trickle down into how you parent, how you're a husband, how you're a boss, how you're an employee, all those areas of your life. There's a song by Elevation Worship. If you've never heard of them, I highly recommend them. But their latest worship CD, and it's called Worth It All. And some of the words say, "Thank you for the lonely times where I learned to live in the silence. As the other voices fade, I can hear you calling me, Jesus." And the whole song is about how when we struggle, when we have hard times, that it's worth it all because it deepens our relationship with Christ. And I remember what I think probably the most difficult time of ministry that I can remember, and I have a horrible memory, but I remember very clearly how it was moving from Canada. And some of you might think, well, Canada, isn't that just like the States? I mean, just go there and you'll answer your own question. It is nothing like the States. Canadians, we went there last year even, and I just was like, yeah, a lot of things just make sense there for me. And even Jessica and Sydney went with me. And we went to a school of ministry while we were there and toured it, and they got to talk to some of the other students. And I remember even my girls just saying, oh, yeah, a lot of things just make sense. Like, they're just different. So Canadians, it's a different culture. It's not the U.S. We speak English and French, but it's a totally different culture. And when we first got married, we did live in Canada for the first few years. Our first three girls, our only girls, were all born there. Our first three girls were born there. All three of our girls were born there. So we spent our first few years of life and ministry in Canada. And, you know, I just had the security of it all. I knew there would be a Tim Hortons on the corner, and there was security in that. Okay, you've never been to Canada, obviously. Have Tim Hortons if you ever go there. But I'm trying to just get across that it might seem just kind of like, oh, big deal. But moving away from Canada and home was really difficult. Really difficult. Because you're like leaving your... We didn't live by my mom anymore, but you're just leaving your family. You're leaving what you knew. But God does a work there, doesn't he? He does a work that he really, I don't know that he could do anywhere else, because your dependence is on him. And it's awesome to have supportive families. But it's nothing compared to just being in the center of his will and being obedient to what he's called you to. And I had already prepared this message, and this was already on my heart, and then I was reminded of you. It's hard when you're stripped away from those secure places, from those people who give you support. But I promise you it is worth it. Thank you for those lonely times where I learned to sit in the silence. Because that's where you hear his voice. And when everything's stripped away, he's all you got. And I'm looking at Lindsay, if you're wondering. Because she's called to the other side of the world, and she leaves again. And it's hard stuff, because other cultures, just the security of knowing there's, you know, silly comforting things like Tim Hortons coffee. It sounds ridiculous, but there's a comfort in it because it's what you knew, it's what you grew up with. Or you get it? Those of you who live by your families and always have, you might not think it's a blessing, and it can be, but in some ways, it's not always. Because we tend to lean on those people and maybe not so much on the Lord. But you can get to those places. You can create that atmosphere of leaning on the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures is found in James, and you can turn there. James 1. And I like to read this over and over and over again. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I want you to look at that scripture and think of how many times we cut that process short. Because it's uncomfortable. Some of us just cut it short at count it all joy. And that's where I get my whole issue with complaining. Because God's word tells me to count it all joy. We don't see the end, but he does. And you can stand here and say, I count it all joy that God brought me out of my home country and took me to a place where I had to completely depend on him. Because I know him better. I know his voice clearer. Randy and I had to learn to work things out ourselves without family always around, watching our kids for us, running over every minute of the day, you know. Not like they would have done that, but we really didn't have family around to help us with our children. But God blessed us with some amazing friends that are like aunties and grandmas to our children, even to this day. But I want you to ask yourself, where in that scripture do you cut it short so that you don't finish the process? That you be found lacking in nothing. And I'll tell you, when you're with Jesus, ladies, you are lacking in nothing. We are not perfect, but he sure is. And that no matter what you go through with your kids or what struggles you have or challenges or where you're confused about what decisions to make, that you can lean on Jesus. You can trust him that he will direct it. He will order your steps. He will give you wisdom. He will give you grace. He will help you to love unconditionally. I don't know how you can do that without the Lord. And that you won't put on your children the things of this world, like popularity. Lastly, we need to just focus on Christ. If you turn to Luke 4. Ann Voskamp says, you don't have to be awesome and do everything. You simply have to believe that the one who is awesome loves you through everything. We put so much burden on ourselves. We don't need to be perfect. We need to learn to forgive ourselves. We'll all make mistakes. So in Luke 4 is the story of when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and how he was in the wilderness for 40 days and Satan came and tempted him with food and power and telling him, you know, throw yourself off this cliff, prove who you are. And I think the enemy tempts all of us with the things of this world, the pride of life, the, you know, just the things that are fleshly, feed our flesh, whether it be food or pride or just proving who we are as moms, like, I'm going to be super mom, I got this all together, which is such a lie from the enemy. It's a trap. It's a temptation. He just wants you to be his. That's the best thing you can do. But anyway, he was tempted. And what I love about this story, it goes through the temptation. And then, of course, Jesus didn't succumb to the temptations. And then it says that he begins his ministry. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Did he have a clear vision or what? His vision, he was focused on what God had sent him to earth to do. And I believe that's what empowered him to overcome those temptations. It's the importance of vision. What is God calling you to do? I think he's calling all of us to be this on earth. Don't you ever, sometimes I used to just sit as a kid and I thought I was losing my mind. I would just sit and look in a mirror. And it's kind of freaky if you do it long enough. It kind of freaks you out a little bit. But I would just sit and look in a mirror and go, who are you? Like, it's a weird thing. Like, look at you. Like, you're half Indian, you're half British. Like, I'm talking to myself. You're half British. You were born in England, raised in Canada. You're just weird. You're just a weird mess of stuff. Why are you here? Like, why are you here? And the older I get, I'm just thinking, man, like, time's running. I better be on this. I better be doing the right thing. You know, I think when you're younger, you think you have all the time in the world. But then you get older, you're like, did I really do what I was supposed to be doing? Like, bless you for doing it now, right? Steps of obedience and sacrifice. And I think when we look, like, in that mirror, God's calling us for his kingdom purpose, not for us. And even when we get lost in the busyness and the chaos of mothering and parenting and all the things that weigh on us, keep your eye on the purpose of his kingdom. That's what it's about. I was not born to be a cashier at Target. I know that, right? I just do it. Or, you know, even really to be my kid's mom. I am his daughter. And all that mess of stuff when I look in a mirror, all that history, all that painful stuff, all the ripping and tearing and disappointment and hurt, and it all works together for good. It really does. He's so good just to bring it full circle, isn't he? That I got to go to India last year, sometimes that still blows my mind. It was a dream for so long. But to be able to minister now over internet with my Hindu relatives, like, thanks God for all the names I got called when I was a kid, all the racial comments I got. It was all worth it because it's for your kingdom. And you knew. And you knew that there'd be hurting people on the other side of the world. And you knew that I would be blood relative with them. And you knew that maybe they would listen to me because there's some level of respect there because of who my dad was. And you knew. And so when those kids used to ride by our house on their bikes and they would, like, yell racial comments into our house windows, worth it all. As a kid, not so fun. Not so fun to the point where I used to just tell people I was Italian. Because it was easier and less painful. But I love how Jesus just had his focus on the kingdom purpose. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. because he's anointed you to preach good news. That's all that matters. If church attendance is iffy for you, it's going to be doubly so for your kids. I believe it. I believe in generational curses and blessings. It's scriptural. But I don't worship Jesus so that my kids' lives are blessed. I worship him because I love him. And that's what matters. Let us be people of grace and unconditional love. I'm just going to close with this scripture, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, whether they be your children or not, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful headdresses instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Ladies, stand up in this place. All ladies in this place, stand up. God has called you to be oaks of righteousness. That not just your children, but other people's children and other women in this church and women in this community can find rest under you. Can women do that? Can people do that with you? Or are you always negative and complaining? Are you always focused on yourself? Are you always jealous of other women? Are you always comparing yourself to others? Or do you not even know the Lord and scripture that you can't even give? You can't be that oak of righteousness to others. I believe God is calling each one of you to be an oak of righteousness. And you got to figure out what that means for you as an individual. You don't need to look at me. You don't need to look at the women's ministry director or our children's ministry director or Joyce Meyer or a pastor or anybody you watch on TV or admire. He's calling you out today. Because he loves you and he wants that relationship with you. And through that, it will trickle down through you to others. That you will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that most importantly, he will be glorified in your life. I don't want people to look at me and see me. Sometimes I hate going to Target. I got to be honest. And I walk in there, I don't have to do this. I get to do this. I get to do this for you, Jesus. Whoever it is that needs you today, may I be sensitive as they come through my line. That if they came in here down and mad and cranky, that they'll leave here with a smile. Not that I look good or my boss tells me, wow, great job, but that you are glorified in my life. That someone will say there's something different about you. That's what I pray for each one of you.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.